Thank you, Brother Ray. What a good message. What a good start. It's got a good book, and it covers a lot of that. You ought to get that book and read it. Let's sing 520, I Just Keep Trusting My Lord. And that's what we ought to do. 520. Stand, everyone, if you would. Sing out. We're going to sing, have another message and a break. Do your best singing, everyone. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. In the book, you turn there, you probably know this song, actually, 22, Christ is All I Need. Great little chorus, 22. Let's sing it together. Everyone sing out now, Christ is all I need. Singing, Christ is all I need. Second stanza singing, He was crucified. In the hymn book, Living for Jesus. Song we don't often sing maybe at a youth conference, but it fits our theme. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. 218. Singing, Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him. To the chorus on the second, singing, Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer. Lord and Savior, I singing. Thank you and be seated.
Our next speaker is a college graduate of Trinity Baptist Bible College. But before that, he graduated from Texas A&M.
Amen.
Worked in the secular world, very successful businessman. God saved him.
Amen.
God called him to preach. And he followed. He did what God wanted him to do. And came to Trinity Baptist Bible College, graduated in 4 years, and is now on staff here at Trinity Baptist Church. Very organized. You put Brother Cliff Donnelly next to me, and it's I don't want to compare myself to him as far as organization. I feel like I'm organized until I see, you know, you walk by his office, everything, there's nothing. I mean, it's just all. You walk by my office, Brother Sam's office, looks like a tornado's been through there. And the thing is, we can find everything where it is in about 5 minutes. He can find it just like that. But Brother Cliff Donnelly has been a blessing not only to our college, but to our church. He worked in the bus ministry for 4 years while he was here. Had a great bus route before he turned that over. Now works in the bus ministry as an assistant to Brother Todd, bus director, and just does a marvelous job. He's one of my soul-winning partners when we go soul-winning, soul winner. And we want you to hear him. And he's done things right. The Bible says do things decently and in order. And I don't know of a man that has done things more decently and in order since he's been saved. And just doing right. And I wanted you to hear him this morning. I think he'll be a blessing to you. Brother Cliff, you come on. Thank you for...
Amen. Thanks, Brother Tom. Thank you. Amen. Okay. Thanks, Brother Eric. All right. Find in your Bible two places. Proverbs chapter 12, and Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And Brother Ray, thank you for the message. Being an Aggie, I got things out of order. I looked for beauty first, and then the soul and spirit somewhere down the road, and I did all right. God's will, married a great lady. She's here today, and thank God for her. That was good advice. Good advice. I wrote everything down. I'm not going to get married again, but I'll teach that sometime. Well, can I start off with an Aggie joke? Anybody know who the Aggies are? No? I don't have a very good memory being an Aggie, but I've got a four-word Aggie joke for you. And this is a good redneck. This isn't blue neck stuff. You'll like this. Four words. If you know anything about football the last 5-10 years, you'll like this joke. The four words are this: the Aggie football program. I need to say any more. Now, that's my Aggie joke. I forget all the long ones. I can't remember them. But I'm going to ask you to do something before you stand and before you read from the Word of God. And I'm honored and privileged to be here. Can't believe I was asked. I'm only right in between Brother Ray and Brother Angel. And these are great men of God. They've done something and have been assistants, been pastors a long time. And I haven't. So I'm in a different league than they are. I'm learning how to do what they're doing one day. And trying to grow in grace. Dr. Ray has written some great books. Facets of Christ, Christian Dating. Did that excite you? I was going to preach a chapter out of that today, but I thought, well, I want at least one or two amens. And I'll leave that alone. But good books. Good books. And Brother Angel, he preached about 4 or 5 years ago here at Men of the Word Conference. And those of you men that were here will remember. I can remember his distinct voice preaching over and over again. It's a great work. Nehemiah. And that's never left me, Brother Angel. And I thank God for that message. It's a great work. When I get discouraged, I think of Brother Angel preaching. It's a great work. Not just the wall that was built, but your life, what you're doing for God. It's a great work. It's no accident. God saved you and put you here today. So I appreciate that. But what I want you to do, and it's very simple, I want you to compare me this morning, as I know you will, to Dr. or Brother Zeke last night, okay? Will you do that? Use him as a comparison. Then I might get some doctrine right. I might be all right. But Brother Zeke or Pastor Zeke or Reverend Zeke last night, well, he brought some humor into it. I don't know what else he brought, but it was funny. And I appreciate it. Well, stand with me. Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to look at one verse. And the theme, Looking Beyond Me, has really been on my heart. And Brother Davis asked me to do this a couple weeks ago. I prayed about it, and God led me to this scripture and to a little something I think will be a help if you apply it. If you apply it. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. I'd say the majority of you here today are wise. You're here to hearken unto some counsel. Well, you're with your counselors, your pastor, you're part of a good church. I think you're wise, very wise to be here. And what a good number. But the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He never looks beyond me. And he thinks he's right. The way of a fool. Some of you are here to have fun this week, and I hope you do. But some of you are at a crossroads. You're here to make some decisions, or need to make some decisions, or God's going to prompt you to make some decisions. I made some last night. As soon as Brother Ray spoke about failures, I fit that category. And that touched my heart. I've been there many times. But the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I hope that's not you today. Now look over at Acts chapter 8. And very familiar story of the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, this is my favorite story of soul winning in the Bible. So clear, so many things happening. The Holy Spirit working on Philip, the Holy Spirit working on the Ethiopian eunuch, the eunuch gets saved, and just a lot happening. A great, clear passage on soul winning. But I want to use it as an application today of counsel. Of counsel. How counsel reached the eunuch before it was too late, before he died and went to hell. Counsel. Counsel. See, the eunuch looked beyond himself. He didn't keep his eyes focused on me. Or you know what he would have told Philip to do? Get back up to Jerusalem. Get back to the Samaritans. I don't want it. No, he welcomed into his chariot and listened. And he acted very quickly, by the way. But I want to ask you, what will be the result the next time someone approaches you with counsel? The next time they look at your life, and God's given them something to tell you, and it's important, what will be your reaction? What will be your reaction? Let's look at a few places in Acts chapter 8, first verse 30 and 31. And we know what's happening here. Philip has been called or been asked by the Holy Spirit to go out into the desert and to meet this eunuch. And, you know, I'd been a little intimidated, a little scared, probably a little hot if I was Philip, but he obeyed. He obeyed immediately. And watch this in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He desired it. Now what will be your reaction? Will you desire counsel when it approaches you? Will you desire it or will you turn it away? See, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel, he that sees a man coming in a desert and welcomes him in is wise. Is wise, and we need to be wise. Father, I just give this message to you, my lips, my voice, and pray you'd lead, guide, and direct. And Lord, we all need counsel. None of us are as close to you, as familiar with the Word of God to get all the counsel we need, although it's there. Lord, pray you'd help us and work over our hearts and help us to seek and just be receptive to counsel. Lord, we need it. Father, I just love you and thank you for the privilege to preach among these great men of God. Pray you'd use me now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have several things in common with the eunuch today. I don't want to scare you and say I don't have anything in common with the eunuch. Well, let me give you a few things. Look at verse 27 while you're in Acts chapter 8. Verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, what do we have in common with the Ethiopian eunuch? Well, he had a purpose. Well, he had great authority. You've got a purpose. You wouldn't be here. You're the cream of the crop in your youth group. Don't get a big head that I said that. But you are somebody in Christ and important. You have purpose. He had wealth. He had wealth. You say, well, I'm not wealthy. Well, you're an American. You're 2006. You're doing okay. It looks like you're fairly wealthy. I'd be scared to ask how many of you have a cell phone today, because a lot of you would raise your hand. It takes a little wealth to have a cell phone. Not that you need one. When I was your age, I was trying to get walkie-talkies to communicate from Sears and keep batteries fresh in them. But you know what? We've got wealth. We're not so much different from the eunuch. He had religion. Oh, we've got good religion. We've got the right religion. Fundamental Independent Baptist is the right, the only religion to worship the Lord. And you know what? He had a Bible. He had a Bible. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. You've got a Bible. I see it in your lap. So we're not that much different from the Ethiopian eunuch. Yet he needed help. He didn't have all the answers. He had to look beyond himself. Although he had all these things, he didn't have all the answers. He wasn't saved. You, like the eunuch, will not have all the answers. And the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You'll never make it. You'll never do anything great for God if you don't regard this passage of Scripture and hearken unto counsel. And as a way of a title for this message, I've titled it, Godly Counsel Awaits You. Isn't that great? Somebody's praying for you. Somebody loves you. A lot of people do. And godly counsel awaits you. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to receive it? Are you going to desire it even before you receive it? And then are you going to act on it? Are you going to be a doer and not just a hearer? Oh, we're good hearers. I see a lot of ears this morning. But doers. Friday, when the conference is over. Saturday morning, soul winning comes around. Are you going to be a doer? And that's where we're going with this message. Godly counsel awaits you. And I want to know what your response will be. See, there'll come a time over and over again when you're going to need help. Let's just admit it. You know, President Bush is a pretty wise man. But you know, he has a whole cabinet. He's got multiple advisors giving him knowledge and help and guidance. If he doesn't seek counsel, he'll never be able to handle the crises of the world. And we have problems. We have troubles. Job said in 14:1, man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You've had it. I've had it. Thank God for counsel. Godly counsel awaits you. Godly counsel awaits you. The principles throughout the Bible. Hey, that's God reaching man. That's counsel. Soul winning, a witness. That's counsel in the Scripture, how to be saved. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Can I put that into jargon where you're at? Your purpose in life may be disappointed. Maybe a disappointment to you and God without counsel. That's what it says, without counsel. I enjoy senior camp. I've only been one time, but I enjoy the testimonies every year. And I love seeing how God has the counsel available and the teens that take it. And we had testimonies the other night, and just wonderful how the teens grasp a hold of this thing called counsel. It's free. It's available. It's from a loving God. He uses man to get that counsel to you. You know what? Someone may just be praying for you right now and have something prepared for you. But I want to know how you're going to receive it. You know, God, if He just relied on the Bible to reach us, I'd have never been reached. I was 23 years old and hadn't read a chapter in the Bible. Never a chapter. And I'm glad I received some counsel one night and got saved by someone. I'm real glad I did. The Bible's full of examples. It's a book of counsel. You know, and you can just look in Acts chapter 9. Ananias was sent to reach Saul to get his sight back. You can look in chapter 10. Cornelius was wise enough to ask for counsel. He said, send for Peter, because I need counsel. You can look at Acts chapter 18. Apollos was dealt with by Priscilla and Aquila. All throughout the Bible, it's a book about counsel and counsel getting to you. Now, godly counsel awaits you. You know, in my life, looking back, I received a lot of counsel. Sometimes good counsel, sometimes bad. When I was age 15, this is bad counsel, someone told me I need to buy a Chevy truck. And I took that counsel, and it was bad counsel. I had more breakdowns, more transmission problems with that Chevy than I'd ever have with a Ford. So I moved to Fords quickly and lived under that counsel. Better counsel. The adults know what I'm talking about. You spend much time with a Chevy, you're going to have trouble. Age 18, my dad approached me and gave me some counsel. He said, Texas A&M is a good school. Yeah. Amen. Got one Aggie fan out here. That's pretty good, Jeremy. There's a few of you, Greg. He gave me some counsel. I didn't ask for it, but he gave me, and I received it and went there. At age 23, the best counsel of my life was when my father-in-law approached me at age 23 and witnessed to me on a Tuesday evening. I didn't ask for it, didn't know it was coming. But you know what I did? I listened, and I received it and acted upon it. Praise God, got saved. At age 29, I was at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Houston. And you know what happened? I was cornered by some missionaries at a missions conference. You watch out for missionaries at a missions conference. They are 110% zoned in on who's going to come to their field and help. and they find you and they seek you. Well, I had several missionaries approach me with counsel. I didn't ask for it. I was in the corporate world, making money, happy, thought I was happy. And, you know, why are these missionaries coming up to me and getting, you know, this far from me, that three-inch rule, and saying, look, God's dealing with you about the ministry, isn't he? Oh, no. I lied and put it off. You know what, looking back, I'm glad they approached me with counsel. And I'm glad that I got over my pride and myself, and I looked beyond me, and I took that counsel, and shortly thereafter surrendered to the ministry and came to Bible college. At age 30, well, something great happened at senior camp. I went to Pot of Gold senior camp. And I didn't ask for this counsel, but I was broken. Listen, I was trying to come from the corporate world, the world that knew not God, and come to the Bible college and do right, and I was struggling. And Brother Howe, oh, I love Brother Howe, the counsel he's provided to me over the years. He approached me at an invitation and put his arm around me and just started counseling me. And he knew exactly where I was at and what I needed. You know what? I'm real glad I received it. I'm real glad I had a desire for it. And I'm glad I acted upon his instruction and his counsel. Age 33, Dr. Smith, upon graduating from Bible college, gives me some counsel and says, you need to follow the Holy Spirit. Do what, you know, I think you might stay here, work on staff. That's good counsel. You know what I wanted to do? Go out and start a church in Bryan College Station, Texas A&M. Am I ready? No. Had a good burden, still do. But you know, I'm glad I listened to counsel. Counsel will save you from so much heartache and trouble if you just take it. Now let me give you some things before we get into the body of the message, some things that will hinder or limit you from receiving counsel. Why are you going to leave here and not apply this message? It's so simple, it's just easy things I'm going to give you. Several things will keep you from applying this message. Number one is pride. Your pride. Your pride, the way of a fool, is what? Right in his own eyes, in her own eyes. One of our youth gave a testimony the other night. I won't mention their name, but Jordan, I appreciate it. It was very, very good. It's the one I remember and will remember. Jordan got up here and he said, look, he said, youth camp started out, and I heard messages, and I thought, this message is for him, and this message is for her, and these just aren't applying to me. And you know what he said? He got under conviction later in youth camp. And he finally realized, when he got the pride out of the way, the messages were for him. Now, he was bold enough to stand up here and give us that testimony. What about you? And your pride, what's holding you back from godly counsel? It's all around you. It awaits you. It awaits you. I guarantee you, if you go find a youth pastor, a youth worker, a godly lady, they'll have something for you. Open your life up to them. I like what Brother Ray said about Brother Fisher, wound me. Woo. Go up to your youth pastor and say, wound me. And guys, they might. But spiritually, they could be a great help. Proverbs 16:18, you know what? Pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. In your eyes, things look pretty clean, don't they? In your eyes, pride will keep you from counsel. What else? Sin, just sin. Oh, any variety you want. Sin is sin. And it will keep you from godly counsel. It will keep you. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. Your sins will hide God's face from you and will hide you from counsel. You won't want counsel when you're in sin. No, you'll run from it. You'll run from it. You'll run from God. Also, another thing that will keep you from counsel is feelings. We all have feelings. We learned that ladies may have more feelings than men. But men have feelings too. We teach, my wife and I teach young married couples class here. And listen, 9 out of 10 of those young couples, here's what they say when we approach them with counsel. When God's laid on our heart something to be a blessing, something to help them, here's what they tell us. They go, well, I feel like this is right. I feel like working on Sunday is what I need to do. I feel like, you know, another church that doesn't offer your standards and things is what we need. And you know what? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And that's where we're at. Feelings will keep you from good godly counsel. I just want to challenge you. You need to look beyond me. And godly counsel awaits you. Godly counsel awaits you. How will you hearken unto counsel? The book of Scripture says, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. God, I know He is preparing someone to counsel you. He has a pastor ready to counsel you. But I want to give you three things. And if you follow these things, they're simple. Many of you, you're here today because you followed them. But the Christian life is repeating. Doing over and over and over again, church, and Wednesday night, and Saturday morning. You need to learn, keep this in your bag of tools and just repeat it over and over and over again. So three steps. The first one And we'll go right back to Acts to see this in the Scripture. Desire. Do you even have a desire for counsel? And I think you do. You're here today, and you're singing, and have a desire. Desire, you wouldn't come to a youth conference all week in the summer unless you had some desire. But I want you to look at verse 31, Acts chapter 8 again, and see what the eunuch had that made him receive this counsel. Verse 31 says, "And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip." You know, he could have told Philip a lot of things out in the middle of that desert. "Philip, get out of here. Go back where you came from, you Christian. I don't want it. I don't want it." The ways of a man are wrong in his own eyes. And in this case, he desired it. And what do you desire? The Scripture says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Scripture says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You desire these things. Hey, they're available. Godly counsel awaits you. Godly counsel awaits you. What about answered prayer? Mark 11, 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them." I desire help. I desire help daily from the Lord. And as you grow, you'll need more and more help. Or do you want the way of the fool? Some of us just want freedom from authority, to get out from under authority. Well, you're going to be under authority the rest of your life. And if you're a Christian, you're under authority. What about counsel that lines up with your will? Now, I know pastors hate this. You want something that affirms. You want to hear counsel that affirms what you already are going to do instead of hearkening unto counsel. You're not wise. That's trying to do something in your own eyes. What about counsel only when you want it? Now, this one affects us all. We're not patient. I like a lot of things immediately. That's the culture we live in. It's got us versed in wanting things immediately. Well, you know what? God's timing is not your timing. When God has that counsel ready for you, will you receive it at that time? So those are just things that may get in the way of your desire. But do you desire counsel? Do you desire to ever look beyond me? See what's out there, what God has in the way of help? Let me give you a test. Just in your mind, first thing that comes to your mind when I say this thing, a meeting with your pastor that he called. Is there a desire there? Or is there fear? In my case, my pastor wants to meet with me, there's going to be some fear. But hey, that's a good thing. Your pastor wants to help you. What about if I said, a meeting with your parents and youth pastor? Ooh, I'm not getting a lot of smiles. Not a single amen on that one. You know what? Hey, there's some thumbs back there. Amen. You know what? Godly counsel awaits you. Are you going to desire it? Are you going to desire it? How do you desire it? You keep a right heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Keep a right heart. Well, after you desire it, listen, there's another step. You must receive it. You know what this eunuch did? He received it. Boy, I believe he was all ears. And he took it all in, and he was ready to act. He received the counsel. He received it all in a short time. You know what? We all desire barbecue for lunch. I don't know if I should have let that out of the bag, but that's what we're having, I believe. We all desire it. But if you don't go through the serving line and receive it, you're never going to partake of it. You're never going to eat it. You're never going to be a doer. You're just going to be a hearer, and you're going to be stuck with a desire. We must receive it. Salvation. Well, you desire, you know you're lost. And maybe you're lost today. Listen, this applies. You're going to have a desire to be saved, to know Christ, to be in heaven. That desire, well, then you have to receive something. You have to receive Christ and let Him come into your heart. You know what? You must receive. The eunuch, he was several things. Why was he a good receiver? Well, the eunuch was special. He had several things going for him. He was a good listener. He was a good listener. The words of a wise man are heard in quiet. He listened. He listened. Jesus said many times in the New Testament, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, let him hear." You know what happens, teens? Who gets church discipline? Those that refuse instruction. Those that won't hear. They end up coming before the church because of a hard heart. He was also a humble receiver. Proverbs 19:20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction," the Word of God says. Hear counsel and receive instruction. Don't just hear it. You're going to hear a lot of good messages. Last night was tremendous. But receive it. Receive it. James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord." Humble yourselves. Finally, he had a ready heart. He was a good listener, a humble receiver, and he had a ready heart. He kept his heart right. Let me ask you, what will block you? You may have desire, and you're getting good counsel. What will block you from receiving it? A lady across the street from my house called me yesterday afternoon and asked if I saw a car slowly going by the street. She said a mail that was being sent out in her mailbox was taken and stolen. The mailman hadn't come yet. It was blocked. Somebody got in the way. I'm just using that illustration. There are a lot of things that can get in our way of receiving good instruction. What about the devil? You think his will is for you to look beyond yourself? No, he wants you to focus on yourself. I, me, myself. What about the world? Don't take counsel from the world. It's wrong. It is just wrong. And what about your flesh? Well, you got to look beyond me. Those things will block you. You desire it, you receive it, and you got it, you act on it. What did the Ethiopian eunuch do? Well, he acted on it. Well, he acted even before he had his doctrine straight. He said, just baptize me. I've heard. I want to do something now. And he was wrong. He didn't have his doctrine right quite yet. But he acted on it. He acted on it. He desired it. He received it. He received that youth pastor calling me at night saying, I've got you on my heart. Here's what I want to talk to you about. And then he acted on it. Then he acted on it. That's exactly what you and I need to do. We need to be James 1:22 Christians. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Not hearers only. Deceiving our own selves. Hey, you're deceived today. If you leave here and you already have something on your heart and you don't act on it, you're receiving counsel left and right here. You're getting it from these great men of God. You're getting it from the Bible. Hopefully this morning you had a time when you got in the Bible. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't deceive yourselves. See, godly counsel is backed up by the Holy Spirit in prayer. My decision to attend Trinity Baptist Bible College, it was backed up not only to have good counsel, it was backed up because I prayed and let the Holy Spirit lead me. You know what? Good counsel draws you closer to God, not further away. When you have counsel from the world about working on weekends and Sundays and Wednesday nights, weigh that counsel out. Does it draw me closer to God or does it draw me away? And it does not contradict the Bible. Good counsel, the counsel that awaits you, it won't contradict the Word of God. And before acting, just try these things. You might call it testing. Before acting on counsel, let me give you an illustration where I'm glad I didn't act on the counsel I received. I was in a good church back in 1995 when I got saved. And a great pastor, man of God, taught me the Word of God, baptized me, and listen, I've been a fool not to believe and listen to his counsel and do it. But when I graduated from college, I had some job opportunities. I had one in the hometown down there, working for Dow Chemical Company. Had another job opportunity in Wichita, Kansas. Ask my wife about Kansas when you get a second. And it was the obvious choice to stay and work at Dow Chemical in hometown. Already had a church, already had a place to live, loving in-laws. It was the obvious choice, right? Salary was even better down south. Pastor counseled me, said, Cliff, he came to me, I didn't come to him. He said, look, I think this is the place for you. Just stay here. Just stay here. This is where you need to be. And you know what? That wasn't the right thing to do. I had to take that counsel and pray over it and ask God and just really seek the right thing to do. And I ended up going to Wichita, and I believe that was God's will. And looking back, test the source. Know where the counsel comes from. Watch worldly counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Watch out. You know, everybody wants to give advice, right? Boy, the people that could give advice, we'd all raise our hands. It's a lot easier to give advice than receive it. And that's the opposite when it comes to money. It's a lot easier to receive it than it is to give it. But you know what? We need to become good receivers of counsel because it'll help you through these tough years, teenage years. To test the source, hey, don't mix the good with the bad. You know what the eunuch did? He mixed baptismal regeneration with what Philip just told him, and he was ready to get baptized for salvation. And Philip said, wait a minute, except thou believest. Don't mix bad with good. Teens, let go of what hadn't worked for you. Cleave to that which is good. When you get good godly counsel, hang on to it and do it. Act on it. Hey, you've desired it. You've received it. Now act on it. Act on it. Don't mix the bad with the good. You mix dirty with clean, you get dirty. You don't get clean. When you mix your own bad counsel with something good and clean from the Word of God, from a godly person, a godly pastor. Finally, apply simple faith in the counsel. You know what King Agrippa did? He almost was persuaded to be a Christian. He didn't take the counsel and act on it. And if you don't, if you get too high-minded, the Bible says ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, a lot of times counsel is going to be real simple and black and white. And you just need to apply it by simple faith. Don't make it too complicated. So those are some things to help you act on counsel. Now let me wrap this thing up and be done. Youth have critical decisions to make. I know you do. If I could meet with every one of you, you'd have a list of things before you that challenge you, that you don't have the answers to. I probably wouldn't have the answers to. I've got people in our young married couples class, I have no idea how to help them except prayer and the Holy Spirit doing something. Children don't have that big of decisions. You know, the other day my daughter came to my bedroom and had this look on her face, this earnestness, and I thought, oh my, big question. She's 7 years old. I thought, oh boy, she wants a man's hand in marriage. Oh boy, she wants to leave the house. Something big coming up here. Do you know what her decision was? Daddy, which dress should I wear? That's a great question for a man. That one. But that was big to her. Children don't have big decisions to make. Hey, they looking beyond me, they don't even know what that means. They don't even know what the flesh means. They don't even know what they're up against. You say, hey, Olivia, 7-year-old, you're up against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Huh? You with me? You all do know. You know what your enemies are. You know what will block you. You have a desire? Will you receive it? And then, will you act upon it? Will you act upon it? You've got major decisions. And by the way, I'll give you something to look forward to. When you become an adult, those decisions become even more major. Well, you'll make life-changing decisions that impact you, your family, your church, your job. So what was youth conference about? Church, peers, siblings, country, parents. Leave the sinners out. You don't want counsel from them. What's it about? It's about looking beyond me. We want to get you prepared for adulthood, prepared to be successful after you get out of high school. But you must desire, receive, and act on good counsel. Hey, this is a strategy for success, proven over and over and over again in the Word of God. Who is trying to approach you with good advice? Who is it that loves you? You know it has something for you. Now just think. Is it a youth pastor? A youth pastor's wife? Is it someone in the church? Is it your pastor? Has he been screaming from the pulpit to reach you with good counsel? That's what preaching is. Do you even have a desire? Then will you receive it? And then will you act on it? That takes a man or a woman to act on it. Who do you need to make an appointment with? Who do you know is waiting to help you in an area of your life you're struggling with? What do you get out of the preaching? Do you even have a desire for preaching? Oh, I do. It helps me so much. By the way, you've got the greatest counselor in your hands. The greatest counselor, the answer to any question, is your Bible. Are you going to the Bible? Are you going to get counsel? Let me give you a warning from Isaiah 5:21. Isaiah said, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Woe unto you, young man, young lady. It's already wise in your own eyes. It doesn't need this conference. You already know everything. You know where you're going to Bible college, or you think you know where you should go. Woe unto you. The Bible says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's a plan for destruction, and you know what happened. Why Isaiah was there to prophesy of destruction. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You're going to have to look beyond me. And I like that theme. I like the way God put this together. For success, the answers to those big questions, you're going to have to look beyond yourself. You're going to have to desire and then receive and then act on good counsel. Godly counsel awaits you. That's what this week is about. Tom?